Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Man, I love our church. I feel like Vision Builders is a time where we do reflect a little bit on where we've been. I've been here almost 11 years, and I feel like it brings all of our campuses together in a sense where we're all doing something to build the house. And you know, we always talk about not equal giving but equal sacrifice. And if we can all do something, then God can do anything. And so it's not about, you know, necessarily the amount, it's about the sacrifice, and it's about everybody getting involved. And it just makes me feel like family, you know, one church and three locations. And so yeah, just feeling like I'm amongst family today. It's good. It's good stuff. But tonight, before I get started, tonight, Dr. Dave Martin will be here. If you don't know Dr. Dave, he has got a serious gift on devouring the scriptures and pulling out the stuff about creating wealth and the blessing of God and what God thinks about you in that area. And he is the funniest guy. He's like a stand-up comedian. So bring somebody back tonight at 5 p.m. You're going to love Dr. Dave Martin. And then next week at 5 p.m., we have Pastor Phil Pringle. Dr. Pastor Artist Phil Pringle. So two doctors in the next two 5 p.m. services. So look out. It's going to be good. But thanks, team. Appreciate you guys. We'll have you back up in just a little bit. Well, I'm excited. If this is your first time at C3, then you have picked a powerful Sunday to be here, because this is Vision Builder Sunday. It's a chance where you saw the videos where we actually have an opportunity to step in and capture the future of C3 San Diego by expanding buildings and that sort of thing and reaching people. You know, we had over, like Pastor Jurgen was saying, 1,300 salvations, 800 baptisms. We have 600 kids coming to kids' church every single week. In fact, all of our kids have been born in this house, which is amazing, which is why I am committed to sowing every single year, because I want this church to be around forever, especially while my kids are growing up, and it's incredible. So they, and by the way, just a little kids' church plug, this month, if your kids invite somebody, your kids and their friends get a fidget spinner. Does anybody not know what I'm talking about? A few of us? Okay. If you have kids, probably teens and under, you know fidget spinners are like gold. They're like gold. So make sure you do that. But like all my kids have been born in this house. And so, you know, we just love C3 San Diego. And a couple of weeks ago, I preached a message called God's Not Dead or Broke. And this is kind of part two to that message. And we talked about how, you know, God says, all the silver and gold is mine, says the Lord, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and that God, you know, owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, that the Bible was written by, you know, the richest people in the world. And so God has no problem with money. And I used the words prosperity and riches and blessing. And let me just clarify what that means for those of you who are new here. It just means that God wants you to have more than enough for yourself so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. God told Abraham, I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. And so that is our role as a church. We actually feel responsible as the church, as C3 San Diego, to actually go out into the marketplace and compete so that we can have more than enough for ourselves, because San Diego needs the local church. Pastor Leanne studied on the video, the local church is the hope of the world. It is the answer. And so we want to get out there and we want to reach the world. And then I talked about how, you know, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to live in Rancho Santa Fe and have a Lamborghini. But if you do, that's cool. I want to come over and drive your car. And, you know, I live right outside of Rancho Santa Fe in East County. And East County people need Jesus. I think we got a photo. Do we have a photo of East County? I just want to give East County props. I think we do. But anyways, they weren't ready for me. We have a photo of East County. There it is. Rancho Santa Fe right there. Okay. So God, but God wants you to have more than enough. We saw how David gave over $900 million to build the house of God, and God called David a man after his own heart, which is extraordinary. And so I want to kick this message off with a story. So there's this guy, read this story. There's this guy, he's a wealthy guy, and he had three friends, and he had a wife, he had a bride, and he was going to go away for a certain amount of time. And so he told his three friends, he said, hey, friends, friend number one, two, and three, I'm going to send you $10,000 a month for, you know, the amount of time where I'm gone. And all you have to do with that $10,000 a month is give my bride or my wife $1,000 of that. And so I'm going to hook you up with $10,000. All you got to do is take care of my wife, give her $1,000 a month. And so the guy leaves and he goes away and he left those instructions. Then he calls his wife 3 months later and he says, hey, wife, how's it going? How are my friends treating you? And she said, well, friend number one, he's awesome. He's been giving me, you know, $1,000 on the first of the month every month, and he's been taking care of me. Friend number two, I don't know why, but he's giving me $2,000 a month. Not sure why he's doing that. He's just being extra generous. Friend number three, however, gave me $500 the first month, $250 the second month, and didn't give me anything in month three. So I'm not sure what happened to him. And so, you know, as you might know, if someone you left someone money to take care of your bride, you'd be pretty angry if they didn't do that. And so he called back his friends. Friend number one, he said, hey, friend number one, thank you so much for sending my wife $1,000 a month. You did exactly what I said to do. That's awesome. And then he called friend number three, and he said, hey, what's up, man? I gave you $10,000 a month, and you haven't sent my friend or my wife any money this month, and you only sent her $500, $250 the first 2 months. And he said, I'm going to take all that $10,000 that I've been sending you, and I'm going to send it to friend number two, who's been going over and above and sending my wife $2,000 a month. And so he calls friend two and he says, hey, friend two, guess what? Good news, you're going to start to get $20,000 a month. And he said the reason he did that is because he could trust friend number two to take care of his bride while he was away. Here's the deal. Jesus has left us to take care of his bride, the church. The church is called the bride of Christ. And so he's going to continue to get resources to those people who are willing to take care of his bride. And that's what we're doing. That's kind of an offshoot of the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. But doesn't it make sense that you as a husbands would want people to take care of your bride if you went away for a little bit? And so God says in the parable, he says, because you've been faithful with a few things, I'm going to make you ruler over many things. And so God is looking for faithful stewards to take care of the bride of Christ. See, God's not dead, he's not broke, and he's not greedy. That's the name of my message this morning, is God's not dead, broke, or greedy. He wants to get resources to the church, but he's looking for those people who love the things that he loves and are willing to take care of the bride of Christ. And so I'm going to preach that message. I was going to call this positioned to prosper, because that's really what this is about. It's positioning yourself to prosper and seeing God as a God of abundance and how God wants you to prosper yourself. But he's just looking for people who loves what he loves. In fact, 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty or arrogant, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. See, at C3 Church, we don't believe that God just wants to bless you financially. He wants to bless your whole life. He's giving you richly all things to enjoy. And he's telling people right here, don't put your trust in your riches, because they're uncertain. They could be up one day and down the next. Put your trust in God, for it is he that has given you that thing anyways. He owns everything. So he's the one that's giving it to you. So he wants you to enjoy life. 3 John 2 basically echoes that. It says this. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So God wants you to prosper, to be successful in everything that you do, but all things, finances are included in all things. And so that includes your financial world, but not just your financial world. He wants your marriage to flourish and prosper. He wants your friendships to be extraordinary. He wants your career to flourish. He wants your relationship with your kids to be amazing. He wants your body to be healthy. He wants your whole life to prosper. He wants you to be able to control your emotions. Everything that we do, God wants you to flourish. We are his children. Wouldn't you want your children to flourish in every area? But he gives us the key. The key to prospering externally is prospering internally. That's why it says you will prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. And so I want to talk to you today a little bit about your soul. The key that unlocks your soul, or the key that drives the success of your soul, is your heart. Your heart is the thing where all things flow from. At least that's what it says in the Bible. Proverbs 4:23 says this. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. The New Living Translation says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And so out of your heart is the determining factor of the course of your life, or how the issues of your life proceed. And it all comes from the heart. So your heart is the key ingredient to your soul prospering. I mean, in this life, we get bombarded with antichrist agendas and antichrist behaviors from film, TV, media, from the workplace, from the locker room. Everywhere we go, we are getting bombarded by antichrist agendas and behaviors. And so it's our job to be in the world still, but to be able to guard our hearts, so because out of it flows the issues of life. And so you might be, let me just tell you what else flows out of your heart. The Bible says in Mark 7:21, it says, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. All those things come from our heart. So that's why Proverbs 23 says, guard your heart above all else, because out of it will flow things like this. But it's not what comes in, it's what flows out. It's what flows out. And the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So whatever you're speaking is coming directly from your heart. And because death and life is in the power of the tongue, you could be cursing your world because your internal soul is not prospering. So you could be reading the word or whatever, but you could be confessing stuff, not because you haven't guarded your heart, and you're actually cursing your world. So you're contradicting the word of God and the will of God for your life. So we have to be people that guard our heart. And so what does that have to do with vision builders? Because giving is a key ingredient to the purity of your heart. Let me explain. Matthew 6:19-21. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so because your heart follows your treasure, giving is a key ingredient to keeping our hearts pure. Because as we give to God, our heart will follow our treasure and therefore will help keep us pure in our heart, which will help us speak life out of our mouth and bless our life instead of curse our life. So giving is actually a key ingredient, because your heart will engage with whatever you give to. I remember I signed at a UCLA with the Florida Marlins organization in the 9th round. And you might be thinking, man, you must have been rich. No, I signed for $13,000, okay? I wasn't killing it. And then I made $8.90 a month after that, playing in the minor leagues for a few years. But I took $5,000 of those dollars, and I went to a big stockbroker in downtown LA. And the reason I got hooked up with this guy was because my agent had all of these big-time stars, including Kobe Bryant, under his agency. And so the stockbroker was like, well, hey, he might only have $5,000 now, but pretty soon he's going to. And so he was willing to talk to me. And anyways, he advised me on where to invest my money. And so one of the things that I did was I invested a few thousand dollars in Dell computers. And when I invested in Dell computers, I got to tell you, I became the biggest evangelist for Dell computers on the planet. I started praying for Michael Dell that you know, God would prosper you and like all this kind of stuff, and that Dell computers would be seen all over the world. I still have a Dell computer because of that, maybe. I don't know. And so, but it was because I invested my money in Dell computers. My heart became engaged. My heart followed my treasure. All of a sudden, I was a big fan of Dell computers. That's the same thing that happens. Whatever you give to, your heart engages with. Whatever you give to, you'll pray for, which again engages your heart. And so we want to be people who engage with God, who give towards God, because our heart will follow, which will keep our heart pure so that we can bless our lives and not curse our lives. Giving is a key ingredient to keeping your heart pure. And as you give to God, the Bible says that with God, all things are possible. Amen. to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and heart. So as we get with God because our heart follows our treasure. And with God, all things are possible. All of a sudden, if you can just get yourself with God, everything becomes possible in your life. And so we have to do everything we can to get with God. And I would even say the more money you make, the more we should be intentionally about giving, not because we need your money. God doesn't need our money. Streets are paved with gold. C3 Church doesn't need our money, as I said 2 weeks ago. God's going to build his church with us or without us. But I don't know, but I want to be a player. I don't want to be a cheerleader or a fan. I want to be in the game. I want to be involved in what God is doing. And so all things become possible, but the Bible says that the riches are deceitful. And so the more riches we have, the more trust we start to put in our riches and not God. The blessing, not the blessor. And so we need to continue to be intentional about giving, to keep our hearts pure. This is just good for us. And give, and also what giving does is it's actually a spiritual transaction. You might think it's just a practical thing of you know, putting money in the offering or going online or whatever, but it's actually a spiritual transaction happens. Something happens in the unseen that starts this cycle of blessing towards your life. Let me just explain. What we do on this earth affects heaven. Jesus said this to his disciples when he was teaching them how to pray. He said, pray this, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so when we pray on earth, it affects heaven. Heaven responds when you pray and the devil bows his knee. And so what we do on this earth affects heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, Bible says. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Malachi 3 says, when you tithe, release, the windows of heaven open over your life and pours out so much blessing. So when you release, heaven releases. What you do practically in the natural on this earth shifts heaven in your favor or not. If you withhold, heaven withholds. It's a principle. It's a spiritual transaction. It's a spiritual thing that happens. What we do on this earth affects heaven. When I go with this hand and I lay it on a sick person, no matter how well I'm manicured and moisturized, my hand has no power to heal the sick. But the very act of me laying hands on that sick person, the Bible, God is looking over his word to perform it. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So the very fact that I lay hands on the sick, heaven will invade my hand and touch that person and healing will come to that person. Because what we do in this life, in this earth, practically and naturally affects heaven. Heaven will back you up. So it's a spiritual transaction, and it affects your finances. You might think that as well because it's Vision Builder. So I'm going to get to that. When you give, it affects your finances supernaturally as well. Probably my favorite scripture is 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8 and verse 10. It says this, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So we actually have a say in how blessed we actually are. And it's not necessarily about the amount because we're all in different financial, but it's about the sacrifice. It's about the amount. It's about, you know, what's left. It's about sacrifice, as Pastor Juergen talked about last week. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. So I'm not up here saying, hey, trying to manipulate anybody to give out of necessity or grudgingly. I'm trying to get the blessing of God to you and have you join in on what the church is doing. But if you don't feel it, don't feel it. But I'm telling you, you are blocking heaven over your life because God loves a cheerful giver, it says. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for yourself. Quatcha says nope. May have an abundance for every good work. So God is not trying to bless you so that you can hoard things. God is trying to bless you so that you can be a blessing and give you enough to have an abundance for every good work. That is the role of the church. Verse 10 says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. So he's going to, for those of you that sow, God will continue to get you seed, but he's also going to provide bread for food. In other words, things for your consumption. So it's not bad to have things. God will provide you with things, but he's also going to provide you with seed if you continue to sow. So bread for food. Supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness or the results of your right living. I love that last part. And in the Amplified, I think it says it a little bit better about the results of your right living. It says, now he who provides seed to the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing, that is, your resources, and increase the harvest of your righteousness, which shows itself in active goodness, kindness, and love. And so when we sow, this is the God factor. This is the favor factor of being a son or a daughter of God, that you don't just reap what you sow. The Bible says that whatever you sow, God multiplies that seed, increases the fruits of your righteousness or the results of your right living, the results of your choices to active kindness, love, and caring. But also, we reap based on the multiplication. So you reap what you sow, but as Christians, what we sow gets multiplied before we reap. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like a shotgun. Now, I'm a pretty good hunter. You might not know this. Some of you thought I was just a rapper, but I'm more than that. I know how to shoot guns. I hunt for my meat. I know exactly where the meat department is in Costco. I hunt for that thing, and I know exactly where it is. But I have shot a shotgun before. And a shotgun reminds me of this verse. Because a shotgun shell is one bullet. And when you put that one bullet in the chamber, and that bullet gets released from the chamber, it spreads out into 30 or 50 different pellets. And so, whereas a normal bullet, you just have this one chance to hit the target, but with a shotgun shell, when you release it from the chamber, it spreads out, increasing the results of that shot to hit that target. That's what happens when we sow a seed. It increases the fruits of our righteousness, but then we get to reap based on the multiplication of the seed, not just the seed. That is the favor of God on your life. That is the X factor. That's why it is a good thing to give in the house of God and to have God on your side. So, with that said, I'm finally getting to the thing that I wanted to talk about all month. And this is truly, in addition to what I've already talked about, of course, and there's a lot of things, but for me this month, this is the thing that that will position us as a church and individually to prosper. This will put us in a position to receive from God all that God wants to get to us in our financial world. And it simply comes down to honor. Honor. Let me explain. A few months, probably a month ago, we had an event here at our church called LeaderCast, and it's through our Pathfinders Marketplace, Marketplace Ministry, because we believe that, as Pastor Charles said, that Christians should invade every sphere of the marketplace and take their place of influence in culture. We should be running the show. God said, let them have dominion. We should be running the show. Why? Because it's the best thing for the world, for God to be involved. So we're sitting here, and the whole event was an all-day event, and the last speaker of the day was Tyler Perry. So Tyler Perry comes up on the screen, and the whole day people are anticipating and expecting to hear from Tyler Perry. The reason people were expecting to hear from him is because he's one of the most famous filmmakers alive today. The guy has done extraordinary things, made extraordinary movies, made an enormous amount of money, and he is a God-fearing man, which I found out when he was speaking. Great man. Because I honored him as a man of success and wisdom around leadership, I was able to receive from him the principles that he was talking about. If I didn't recognize him or honor him, which means give weight to or value to his wisdom and his leadership ability, I would not have been able to receive what he said. But because I did, I was able to receive. The stuff he was saying was not out of this world revelation that I'd never heard of before. But because he was honored by me and so many other people, as the man, as the person to listen to, I was able to receive everything he said, and everything he said, because I gave him weight, had weight on my life. It was incredible, but it was because I honored him for who he was. I was able to receive from him what he had. Mark 6 in the Bible talks about Jesus going to his hometown. Now, you need to understand in Mark 5 what happened. So in Mark 5, which is the verse right before Mark 6, I graduated college too. Jesus casts out the legion from the demoniac. Remember that? like 2,000 demons in this one man. He casts him out, powerful. He then goes and heals the woman with the issue of blood who was struggling with the issue of blood for 12 years. Remember, she reaches out, touches his garment, power goes out of him, she gets healed. Then he goes to Jairus' house and raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. Pretty powerful stuff happening in Mark 5. Then Mark 6 starts. It says, then Jesus went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now, he could do no mighty works. Matthew says he could do not many mighty works there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. And so we see here that Jesus, who just cast out demons from the demoniac, who just healed the woman with the issue of blood, who just raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, now all of a sudden comes into his hometown and has no honor. Therefore, they can't believe in him. So they're offended at him. So he comes into his hometown and they acknowledge the fact that he has wisdom. They acknowledge the fact that he's done mighty works. But because they were so familiar with Jesus as the carpenter's son, as the one that grew up in their hometown, they were offended at him. So they could not receive from him. So because they failed to honor him as a healer, they failed to get healed, except for a couple of people. They couldn't receive from him what he had because they didn't honor him for what he had. Honor is so powerful. If we can't honor, we can't believe. Honor and belief is attached in this scripture. So because they couldn't honor him, Jesus said, I can't believe their unbelief. Because honor and unbelief, or honor and belief, is attached. So instead of creating an atmosphere for the miraculous and saying, Jesus, lay hands on me, they were like, Jesus, talk to the hand. They wanted no part of him. And so they didn't get a part of him. Only a few people got a part of him. You and I are called believers. Faith is what attracts heaven. The Bible says that we're supposed to live by faith. But if we cannot honor God for who he is, or Jesus for who he is, then we cannot believe in him. Therefore, we won't receive from him. And as believers, whatever we believe God for, we can have. Whatever we believe him for, we can have. Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. But we can't expect to receive something from somebody we don't believe in. And it doesn't matter what area of your life in that it's in. We have to believe God for who he is. God is revealed to us, one of the characteristics of God in Genesis 22:14, with the whole Abraham and Isaac thing on Mount Moriah, as God our provider. That is who he is. He is our provider. A lot of us have trouble honoring him as our provider. We'd rather honor our boss, our career, or our possessions as our provider, but then we expect God to bless us. We have to switch that around. We have to begin to honor God as our provider, the blessor, not the blessing, so that we can continue to receive all that God has from us. If we don't honor him as a provider, how can we expect him to provide? Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. God is not greedy. He is trying to get resources to the church. And all that he's saying is honor the Lord with your possessions so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. But it's hard to honor God with your finances, with your possessions, if we don't first honor him as our provider. Because then we're going to think we have to replace what we give. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says when we give, Luke 6:38, it is given back to us. Good measure pressed down and shaken together by the measure we use, it is measured back to us. So it never says, I know it's crazy. Sometimes Christianity is like opposite world. It's like when you give, you get blessed. Wait, what? It's crazy, but when we give and honor God as our provider, it comes back to us. We don't have to replace it. You don't have to work harder. You don't have to study harder. Yeah, we got to work hard. We got to make decisions. We have to use wisdom, all of that stuff. But if we give, it is given back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I know it's hard to kind of do that, to honor him in that way. And for me, I've had a revelation of honor, but this month it kind of got deeper lodged in my spirit, this whole idea of honor. Because here's the deal. We have no problem as Christians honoring God as our Savior. We believe every time someone comes to the altar and prays a prayer inviting Jesus into their life, that there is no doubt that they're going to be saved. Zero doubt that God is going to step out of heaven by way of the Holy Spirit and come and live in their world. No doubt, and they're going to spend eternity in heaven. Because the Bible says in John 3:16, the most famous verse in the Bible, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we believe that because the Bible says it. We believe it. We honor God as the Savior. And because we honor him, we believe him so that we can receive from him. But the same God who wrote John 3:16 is the same God that wrote Luke 6:38, that when you give, it will be given back to you, 2 Corinthians 9, that he will multiply the seed. It's the same God, it's the same author in the same book, but we have issues honoring God as the provider versus honoring God as the Savior. And so we resist, and because we don't believe, we resist the blessing of God and the will of God for our life financially because we have trouble honoring him as our provider. My prayer this month is that we would begin as a church to honor God as our provider so that God does not have to withhold, but he can release. And the blessing of God and the miracle power of God can come upon your finances. And we can see C3 Church expand. And we can see our giving to missions expand. All of our partners and outreach organizations. And we can see these altars filled every single week. And, you know, 16 locations filled with people giving their lives to Jesus. And transformation happening all over the world, that we would have an abundance for every good work. That's the answer. That's the goal of Vision Builders. The goal of Vision Builders isn't to take from you. It's to allow God to get something to you. And that's the kingdom. That's how the kingdom works, when we honor. And so that's kind of the main point I wanted to say today, is if we can get to a place of honor, then I believe God will rock our worlds and our financial world and in every area of our life. We honor him as a healer, guess what? Healing's going to flow into your life. You honor him as a provider, it's going to flow. If you honor him as a God of peace, peace is your portion. Comfort is your portion. Health is your portion in every area of your life. But we have to honor him for who he is first. And then you'll be able to receive what he has in your life. I have I can invite the worship team back up. When I was growing up, and this is something that I usually say every year around Vision Builders because it just reminds me of it. Growing up, I played sports, didn't have jobs, and so I never had any money. But I had two older sisters that loved me, and they had jobs. And so I would kind of live by their faith, not my faith, you know, I don't know. And so any time around like birthdays or Christmas or whatever, and we had to give gifts to people, my sisters would buy a gift and they would let me sign the card. And so when we'd get to the point where we give the gift to the person, it would be at my parents or friends or whatever, I mean, it would be cool because my name was on the card, but there was no sacrifice in it. I didn't give towards it. So the feeling was a little bit different. I felt a little bit separated from the celebration of giving that gift. I don't want us to have that feeling when we start to see campuses popping up all over San Diego County, riding on other people's faith and not being involved in what God is doing. It's a different feeling. I want you to be engaged in what God is doing. And it's not equal giving, it is equal sacrifice. Let's all do something. Let's all do something and just let God do anything. But let's honor him for who he was. And I love this quote from Calvin Coolidge. It says, no person was ever honored for what he received. Honor has been the reward for what he gave. We're going to be remembered in this life, not for what we have or received, but for what we give. monetarily, with our resources, with our time, that's what we're going to be remembered for on our deathbed. So let's be people that give. Let's be generous people. Let's have a generous soul, and let's honor God for who he is. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're going to have an opportunity to give right now. And so you have your cards on your seats, and hopefully you've had a chance to pray over the last hour or so. If not, the band's going to come out right now. They're going to sing a song. And as they're singing the song, we're going to have the ushers are going to come up right now as well and just bring some baskets up on the stage. And you're going to have an opportunity to come and as you're putting your commitment in that basket, just pray to God that he will honor what you're giving. And I'm telling you, I believe God's going to do the supernatural over this church this year. And so as the team is singing, feel free to come up at your own timing. And those of you that have already filled out a commitment card, just write on there already committed, and then just bring it up anyways and put it in just so that you can participate under the anointing of God in here today and just believe God that he's going to do the supernatural. But right now I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you and then release you to come up and put in your commitments. Don't forget tonight, 5 p.m., Dr. Dave is going to be here. But why don't we all just stand to our feet? And let's all position our hearts in a place of honor towards God. Why don't you just lift your hands if you're believing for God to do something big in your financial world and in this church. Father, we thank you for the power of God. Lord, we thank you that as we give, it's not just a practical, natural thing, but it's a supernatural transaction that's taking place, starting a cycle of blessing towards us. And Father, right now, we position ourselves and our hearts at a place of honor towards you, God, our provider, the one who provides, the one who does exceedingly abundantly above what we've ever asked or thought. So, Father, I'm asking right now that the power of God would be released over every single giver today, this morning. Father, that as they release, you would release in Jesus' name. I bind every devil who's trying to keep us bound and in poverty or with a wrong mentality of honor. Father, I bind those things in Jesus' name, and I release heaven over our lives this day and over the lives of C3 San Diego. Father, we prophesy thousands of people giving their lives to Jesus Christ, changing their lives for eternity. Father, we pray for healings and miracles in bodies, in lives, in relationships, in finances. In Jesus' name, Father, do what only you can do. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.